From Emmanuel Baptist Church in Highland, California, this is Above and Beyond with Dr. Ben Scott.
I want you to take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we're going to begin with the first verse. And I'm going to ask you to stand as we read God's Word. I'm reading out loud, you're reading with me. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David, according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you now, we thank you that you've given us your holy word. We thank you that you brought us to your house on your day to be with your people and to have your word opened up to speak to us. So we invite you to speak to our hearts and our minds today. Please accept this as our gift of worship and help us to learn your truth for us. And friends, while you're just standing or sitting there, would you just ask Christ to speak to your heart through this message this morning? So Lord Jesus, open up our minds, our hearts to receive your word. In your precious name, Lord, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Do you have a person in your life, or maybe many, they've been in your life in the past, or maybe they're in your life right now, hopefully, but when you think of them, you just think, godly person. And it might be somebody you don't really know personally, like if you hear Billy Graham, you think, godly person, right? It might be somebody else. When I think of my mom, I think, godly woman, my wife, a godly wife. And there's just people in your life that when you think about them, that just comes to your mind. Man, they are a godly person. And because of them, it makes you want to be more godly when you're around them. Or when you're struggling in life, you look to them. Or maybe you go to them and seek their mind or read what they've had to say, because they're godly, and we want to imitate godly people. I've had many people in my life pour into me since childhood, growing up here at Emmanuel. And many times over the years, and even now, people investing in me. And it makes me want to invest in others. It makes me want to be more godly. So today I want us to look at a godly man. His name is Paul. And sometimes when we come to these opening verses of a book of the Bible, we kind of think, oh, intro, background, blow through them. But they're often extremely rich. And so this morning, I want us to see Paul's view of himself, the driving factor of his life, how it all came about, and what it meant to others, and is still going on today. We're still talking about Paul and his life, aren't we? And he is still influencing us by the grace of God, and God using him in a mighty way. And so this morning, I want to say four things. You got a note sheet. There's a reason why that's in your bulletin, because when it's not, you go back to the ushers and say, I need one with the note sheet. So now you got it. And so take some notes, and you can write whatever you want. If they're really good and you show it to me, I might use those next time I preach this. So Paul begins to tell us some things about himself, four things I want us to see. And as we kind of began to look at that, I want you to think for a moment about yourself. How do you view yourself, your life, in relationship to Christ? So when you kind of survey and take a little check and kind of examine for a moment, how do you think of yourself in relationship to Christ? And I'm asking that at the beginning because that's what we're going to be learning about. And so Paul begins by saying, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus. And in some translations, it well puts that, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. And it can mean either, I think. The word slave indicates what? I'm owned, right? That's what slave means. My life belongs to somebody else. And because I'm a slave, I do what they want to do. And Paul learned that Christ, as Lord, is a good master, a good Lord. He's a benevolent Lord. He gave his life for his people, right? He sacrificed himself so that we could become his slaves. The word bondservant back in the days of Rome had the idea that you became a slave and you were working off debt, right? And you could, after a number of years, you could pay off your debt to your master. But in the days of the Roman Empire, something often happened. When that debt finally, after years, got paid off, many of the slaves, the bondservants, would go to their master and they would ask to remain a slave. Or actually, to go from being a bondservant to being a slave. And they would be marked for that. And they would voluntarily surrender to being a servant of that master because they were a good master. Or what do you do after you've been a servant living a slave life for years? And so they would surrender and have a place to live and have food and hopefully have a great master. And so Paul says in this, his view of himself is that I am a slave of Christ Jesus. And so Jesus Christ is the Lord, the King of his life. And so his view of self is one who has submitted to Christ as Lord, and he has committed himself to live for his Lord. Christ did the work. We just heard that in the song of all the work Christ did. Doesn't have anything to do with us. Christ brings us and calls us and draws us to himself. And Paul, when he received that gospel, submitted himself to letting Jesus really be his master and his Lord. That's a good life view. It's not popular today to say I'm a slave or I'm a bondservant or I've got a master, but I will tell you that Paul understood his life in those terms. He referred to himself as that more than once. He referred to some of the other people in the Bible that worked on his teams as good bondservants for Christ. Good slaves for Christ. And he saw the good in that. One thing you know when you are a slave is you get up in the morning with the purpose to serve your master, don't you? When you are living out your life during the day, you live your life to please your master. When you go to bed at night, you understood, today I have been serving my master. And Paul had that mindset all the time, all the time. We see it in him. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was a godly man. And we're still learning from him today. The second thing that he says is he was called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Have you ever loved being or doing something so much that it was often on your mind, and other people, when they would see you, they knew you love doing what you do? Maybe you love sewing. That's probably all of you, right? And you would just But when you get to do it, it's enjoyment. When people come over, you're showing them your latest project or your latest craft or something that you're working on, and they can tell you love doing that. A lot of times in my life, I had jobs where I worked in multiple roles. And every now and then in those roles, somebody would come to me and they said, "Hey, Tracy, you're doing this, you're doing this, and you're doing this. You have three roles. So which one of those do you really love? Or which one of those do you really like the best?" And I would say, "Oh, I like this one." Or, "I love this one." And every now and then a boss would come to me and he would say, "Hey, if you had to pick, which one would you pick?" And I always wondered, why are they asking that question? Kind of sounds like I'm going to have a job change. But they would talk to me about that. And a lot of times I would say, "Oh, I love this area of where I work." And for a long time, it was the area that was the lesser of my roles, but I really loved it. And my family could tell you I loved it. And I not only lived it at work, but I lived it when we were out shopping or at home or with other people or at church. And I loved that kind of work. It wasn't as good as being a pastor and a preacher, but for a non-church job, I loved it. And people could see it in me. And Paul, he has this. Paul was born to serve God. Think about that. He didn't grow up a Christian, right? He started out in a Jewish family. He grew up. He became a Pharisee of Pharisees. And even before he knew Christ, he was a man zealous to serve God, right? He was so zealous, he would go about persecuting Christians, thinking that in serving God, he would stamp out this Christian movement. And then he met Jesus on that Damascus road. You can read about it in Acts 9 and elsewhere. And that changed his entire life, didn't it? But he continued to be zealous for God. God took who he was and he made him into a great man for the gospel, because he was submitted to Christ as Lord. And so he started out really as a Pharisee, and then he became a preacher of the gospel. He was set apart, the Bible says, set apart from his previous life. When he came to Christ, he realized he was a sinner, and Christ revealed his need to Paul. He revealed Paul's need to turn to him as Lord and Savior. And he spoke to him, and Paul responded to that, and he set him apart from his life of being ignorantly zealous for God to being a preacher and servant of Christ. And his life became a greater life. And we're still reading and talking about him and learning from him over 2,000 years later. He was also set apart to share the gospel, or the good news of God. That's what gospel means. It's not bad news. It's not turn or burn. It's about the good news of knowing Jesus. It's about the good news of coming into relationship with God. It is the good news of having forgiveness in our life. And so Paul was set apart to share that good news. Paul met Christ. His life was changed. His desires changed. He went from persecutor to preacher. His purpose changed. He was set apart from sin to now proclaim and share the good news. He loved and he lived for this. He was a called person to the purposes of God, wasn't he? And so as an apostle, as that messenger of Christ, he found fulfillment. It involved, I surrendered to Christ and now I live for him. And Christ is what my life is about. The third thing we learn about him is he shares with the Roman Christians, he reminds them of what the gospel really is. And I like this about Paul, because so often when he just shares and presents the gospel, he does it pretty succinctly. He doesn't write pages and pages. He can do that, but he often just summarizes the gospel so clearly that we can see it. And he tells us now what the gospel of God is. Number one, it fulfills God's promise. He says in verse 2, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And so Paul understood, as a Jewish person growing up, his Bible being the Old Testament, he understood now when he met Christ that Christ was the fulfillment of all that God had been promising for centuries before him. It fulfills God's promise to the world from ancient times, and it revealed that God had a plan for Paul, right? He was a different man. Second, it tells about one person. The gospel is not about a bunch of people. It's not about a bunch of gods. It's not about a bunch of paths to heaven. It's about one person, God's son, born of David's line as a man. He really came to earth, didn't he? He came in the flesh. And Paul goes on and he talks about this. He was God become man for our sake. It also proves him to be the Son of God. And I love this passage. It says, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so what does the gospel do? Well, when Christ came, and now Paul is talking about the resurrection. What is the resurrection? Well, often when Paul is talking about the resurrection, he's not just talking about the event, that day that we call Easter or Resurrection Sunday. He is talking about all that it meant, right? So what is the resurrection really the short version of? Well, if Christ was resurrected, that means he died for our sin and was buried, right? If Christ was resurrected and he died for our sins and he was buried, it meant that he was betrayed and arrested and suffered and tried to go to the cross for our sin. It means before that, what? He preached, he taught, he did the miracles. What does it mean before that? He was the baby in the manger at Bethlehem that we celebrate at Christmas time. And what does it mean before that? It meant he was God come to earth in the flesh. He is the God-man. He came, he suffered, he died, he arose, he is alive, he's coming again someday. He conquered death and he conquered separation from God. And this was attested by the working of the Holy Spirit, who the Bible says raised him. And also the Holy Spirit does what? He is continuing the work of Christ in God's people, right? When I came to Christ, I received the Holy Spirit. When you came to Christ, you received the Holy Spirit. He would write about that in Romans chapter 8. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to Christ. So if you have come to Christ, God dwells in you, God the Spirit. And so he attests to that, and Paul makes this great declaration, doesn't he? Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's really about that, isn't it? It's about making and following Christ as Lord. See, whether we accept him as Lord or not doesn't mean he's not. He's always the Lord. But as we surrender to him, he becomes Lord of our life, the master, the king. He should be the one we want. And so Paul was not only a slave who gladly served his master, he was not only an apostle, that official messenger of Christ, but Paul was just a believer, just like you and me, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. And he recounts to these Roman Christians the simple gospel. What do I need to know? I need to know there is a God. He is holy and righteous, and I have sinned against him. And he has made a provision. That provision is a person. That person is Jesus Christ. He's the only person that can help us with that sin problem. And because he came and he did what he did, I now can have forgiveness. I now can have eternal life. I now can have him in my life every day. And Paul loved this simple message so much, this good news, that what did he do? He tried to tell all kinds of people, didn't he? There's a third thing that we glean from this. We might say, what is the point of being a believer? Well, we should be a slave to Christ, right? We should be glad in what we have in Christ. But Paul says here, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Paul also had the missionary man, didn't he? He had the missionary heart and spirit. He had received not only God's gift of salvation, but he's also talking, and he writes about this elsewhere, but he had received God's grace through gifts, the gift and the calling to be an apostle, the gifts to preach and teach God's word, the gift to go and be what God wanted him to be. And so he had received that. That's what grace is. It is God working in our life every day. It's not just a point in time. It's God working in our life all the time. And so Paul understood that. And because of that calling, because of that gifting, he realized what? He had a purpose to live. And I want you to think about this, because this is a big problem in today's world. People are wondering, what am I doing here? Even Christians, what is life all about? Well, when we come to Christ and you're a slave to him, guess what? You don't have to answer that question. You already know the answer. I'm a slave, so I live to serve my master. Short discussion, right? You don't have to get a degree in that. You know what the answer is. It is about it. And so he declared Christ Jesus to others. Many became obedient to the faith, or still coming to be obedient to Christ through God's word preached using Paul's letters. And so this is the same Christ and the good news that the Roman believers knew also. And Paul said, my life is to go and to proclaim the good news to all the Gentiles, just like you guys heard it and received it too. That kind of says, I received the gift, and I am glad to share it. You ever think about that? You ever think about, man, if I won $5 billion, what I would do with it? And every now and then when you're having that fun moment, knowing it's totally impossible, probably for most of you, but you start thinking what? And a lot of times you start thinking, well, I would share this with my mom or my dad, or I would buy a house for this person, or I would do this, or I would do that, or I would help this charity. And we get it on that level. But when we came to Christ and he is our Lord, our master, guess what? It's meant to be shared, isn't it? It's meant to be shared. And so Paul had that missionary spirit. And I want you to kind of think about this. Paul, a slave. Paul, an apostle. Paul, a believer in Christ Jesus. And Paul, a missionary. And really, we're all to be missionaries, right? Because a missionary is this. A missionary, you remember this in Vacation Bible School or Sunday School or missions conference, when a missionary would come and they would say, what is a missionary? I got this growing up in this church. And they always had this little answer. A missionary is someone who tells people about Jesus. That's what a missionary is. And yep, maybe you're going to go somewhere else and be a missionary. But the truth is, you got to start being a missionary where you're at. You got to start telling people about Jesus where you're at. And so Paul, we think of him as a godly man because of a God who loved him, because of a God who called him, worked through him, and because Paul surrendered his life, and he understood that Jesus really is his Lord and his King. And through that, he found purpose. Through that, he found joy. And I want you to think about Paul's life. You can read his testimony in 2 Corinthians, but I will tell you this, it's not the life I would want for me. It's not a pretty life. It's a hard life. It's the life where you're traveling all the time. It's the life where people run you out of city and people throw rocks and leave you for dead and people gripe and complain and riots are started because you come to town and people chase you and you get arrested and you end up chained to a guard in a dungeon and eventually you end up being executed. That is not the kind of life. Sometimes I read biographies or short stories, little biographical clips of missionaries. And I think, man, how did they do it? How did the Judsons do it in Burma? How did William Carey do it? How did Lottie Moon do it? I don't know. And truthfully, I wouldn't want to have the life they have. I wouldn't want the life Paul had in all that he went through. But how could he do it? He was committed to Christ. Christ was his Lord. And when he saw what Christ did, it made it all worth it. When Christ saw, when William Carey saw what Christ did, it was worth it. When Adoniram Judson saw that at the end of his 44 years in Burma, there were about 10,000 Burmese who became Christians, it was worth it. It was worth it. And it involved getting up daily and living a life of purpose and mission. So listen to me now. Don't close your Bibles. Don't put away your paper. Listen to me right now. Some of you are here, and you have never received Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. And you're here for a reason today. Every time you come here, you're here for a reason. And that reason is to hear God's word. And for it to be telling you, you need Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And in a few minutes or in a few moments, there will be ministers here and they're going to want to talk to you about that. And they will be happy to greet you and briefly talk to you and then match you with an altar counselor. And you'll go over here to W1 and they will talk to you about how to become a believer. And that's an exciting moment. It might be scary, but come. Come, and they will rejoice with you, as some did in the last service. Some of you know Christ is your Lord and Savior, but you're not getting up thinking like a slave every day. Who am I going to live for today? Who am I going to please today? What does my master want me to do today? How can I serve you, Jesus, today? You're not thinking like that. You're living your life and you're wondering why you're struggling in the Christian life. And you're wondering why things aren't going the way you want them to go. It involves surrender. And I will tell you that all of us here that know Christ are on a journey. We don't have it all figured out, but we do know this. Those who are a little more successful at it than maybe some others, they've learned they can count on Christ. They've learned that God's word, God's people, serving God, God being priority in life, reading God's word, talking to God through prayer, those are keys to a healthy Christian life. So maybe you need to commit. Or maybe God's calling you to be a part of Emmanuel. And there's really only one question you have to ask when it comes to joining a church. Is God leading me to be a part of this church? And once you answer that question, you know the answer. It's either yes, join now, or no, I guess I need to keep looking. Okay? And I know we've had people here, I think the longest somebody attended and then joined was 26 years since I've been here. But pretty sure God wanted them here 25 and a half years before that. Okay? This may be the time that God's speaking to your heart and saying, get committed. Become a part of the family. And maybe you just need to say, I need to be on mission for Christ. And you're going to silently pray and commit yourself to see Him as your Lord and your King. And you're going to walk out here thinking and saying, I'm going to live my life for Christ. And I don't know what path that will take you down, but I know He will be with you on it. So I want you to bow your head. We're going to pray, and if you need to pray, you just do it silently where you're at. We're going to have ministers come up front right now, and they're going to be here to greet you. We'll have some altar counselors to help. I don't know what God may do, but let the Holy Spirit speak and work through you. So join me in prayer.
For a copy of the sermon, call 909-425-1777, extension 1401, or you can check out our website at ibzhighland.org.